Let us have a word of prayer. Father, we bless you. We give you the glory. All honor, all glory belongs to you. Lord, your word is holy. And as we meditate upon your word, pour your spirit upon us, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds to hear your voice. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Today, this Sunday, is known as Christ the King. When Jesus hung on the cross, on the top of that cross was written, King of the Jews. I think that they were actually almost like a joke writing that. They did not know that that was actually the case. He was the King, not only of the Jews, but the King of kings and of all the nations. When the Jewish people, they demanded for a king, their hope was a king, back in the Old Testament I'm not talking, that was a king like any other king of the world. But God, from the beginning of the story, that had in his mind king who will be very different. The kings, the earthly kings, however we respect them, however we love them, but the reality is that they did bind people. All the riches, everything first belonged to them, then to anybody else. But here was the king who did set people free, the righteous king. This Sunday is also the last Sunday of our present lectionary year, year C. And last year, around this time, when I stood up here, I said that for a year I will be preaching from the Old Testament text. And with few exceptions because of the occasion, I managed to preach every Sunday on the Old Testament text of the Sunday. When I introduced that this is what I will be doing during the year C, one of the things I said that my hope is that I will bring to the light that how Messiah and the Old Testament are connected, and how these prophecies, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before spoken, were fulfilled in the person of Lord Jesus Christ. But in the event, actually, I managed to say very little about the connection between the Old Testament and the Messiah. The reason, absolutely true, that not that I ran out of ideas or material, but the time constraints. Because within 17, 20 minutes, that you cannot just expand how much actually the Old Testament talks about the Messiah. Because the way I learned to read the Old Testament or the Bible over the years, that in every book of the Old Testament, there is something very special, very specific about the person of the Messiah. Book being shorter or longer, simple reading or complex, the Christ is right at the center of each book. My hope today is that actually to take us from Genesis to Malachi and see in every book that how Christ is present. But for that, you can imagine that for how long you need to sit here. I just only took sentence or two from different books, and my notes were more than twice the size that what I generally preach. And within that, I want to focus on one or two things which are a bit more detailed. So don't worry, I will not keep you until the tea time here, but I have brought the clock here. I will still finish in time where I will feel that it is now the time. I will stop and will ask those who want to really know these sort of things that they are most welcome to get the notes from me. But before I go to that go from Genesis to Malachi, I want to quickly focus on the two passages we read and how the prophecies were fulfilled in Christ Jesus, who we believe the Messiah. In Jeremiah, We read that he was to be known as the Lord, known to be the Lord is our righteousness. Who was known to be Lord is our righteousness? Jeremiah say, the branch. If you look the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament in the prophecies, the branch or the righteous branch is actually the title of the Messiah. And those of you who are going to download your sermons from the net, the references are Isaiah chapter 4 verses 2 to 6, Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 15, Zechariah chapter 3 verse 8, Zechariah chapter 6 verse 12, all talk about the righteous branch from David, and that is the identity of the Messiah. This Messiah will be the Lord is our righteousness. Do you see that? I would like you to see that how it got fulfilled when Jesus hung on the cross. All those people, they were either mocking him, joking him, making fun of him. But in the middle of all that, there was one man who hung on the cross for his crimes. He turned to Jesus. First, of course, he admitted, confessed his sins when he said to the other one that we are getting what we are getting because of what wrong we have done. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he turned toward Jesus and said, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And what did Jesus say to him? Already tonight you will be with me in paradise. But the point what I want to raise is that the Bible says it very clearly that nothing unholy, nothing wrong, nothing criminal can enter God's kingdom. And here is Christ saying to this man hanging on the cross for being a criminal that you are going to be already tonight with me in paradise. How come? How that could be possible? Because only the Bible says it is the righteous who enter God's kingdom. But Jesus said to this man, you are going to be with me in paradise. So that to me is very clear that he is counted already righteous. How that man who was criminal, everybody thought the baddie do to him even worse than what you are doing. And Jesus say, you are going to be with me in paradise. Why? Because God has counted you now righteous. How? Because I have paid the price. I am the one who have taken in my body all what you deserved. You are righteous before God. You are righteous man. For that I say, Christ our righteousness. Jeremiah predicted, Jeremiah spoke in Luke's gospel on the cross, God fulfilled in the person of Jesus. And now, very quickly, let's start with the books. In Genesis, when you meet the Messiah, we often take the promise of the virgin birth from the book of Isaiah. But actually, with the Jewish people, it begins already in the beginning of the Bible. He will be the seed of the woman. In the ancient or in the oriental world, seed was supposed to be of the man, not of woman. Person was referred to seed of that man, seed of that man. But about this, that who was going to crush the head of the evil was to be the seed of the woman. He we meet in that good book, that who is the son of Abraham, through whom all nations will be blessed. It is in him we also see that he became the atonement sacrifice for Abraham's biological son. In John chapter 8, when the Jewish people, they asked Jesus about his age, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And Jesus also said, "Your father Abraham was keen to see my day. He saw it and he was happy." When did he see it? When he became the atoning sacrifice for Abraham's son. Then we move to the book of Exodus. There, I think one is very familiar, that Messiah, the Passover lamb. Every Monday, Thursday, or around Easter time, we do talk about Jesus, the Lamb of God, Passover lamb. But I want you to notice something else in Exodus about the person of Messiah. He was the rock from which the Jewish people drank when they marched through the desert. In Exodus chapter 17, we do read that when they reached the desert, people were thirsty. God showed Moses a rock and said that strike this rock and the water will come. What was that rock? Who was that rock? For that, you need to turn to Paul's first epistle to Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 3 and 4 says this: "They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." But the point I want to make is that here Paul wrote, the rock that accompanied them. Rock, when Moses strike, it did not stay in its place. Paul says it accompanied. Wherever they went, the rock went with them. How come that the rock is going with them? Paul was actually referring to the Jewish tradition. The Jewish tradition is that there was this rock which was struck and it followed them wherever they went, and that is the rock from which they drank. And some of you probably know it, that to this day the Jewish people call that rock from which they drank the Well of Miriam. Miriam's well. And Miriam, when you translate, is actually Mary. Mary's well. Nice coincidence, isn't it? It is here in the West we call Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, son of Joseph. In the East, he is always known as the son of Mary. Miriam's well. And that is what Paul was telling us in his epistle. Then we move to the next book, which is Leviticus. And that is, for many people, if you're reading it just surface on the surface, it is one of the hardest, toughest book to go through. But once you get the hang of it, that this book actually tremendously speaks about the person of Messiah or Christ, it is one of the most wonderful book to read. In that book, I pick up just one issue about the Messiah. In the book of Leviticus, the Messiah is God's people's Azazel. Azazel. Azazel is a Hebrew term, and when translated word to word, it is actually, you can call it that, I think a better word, the English, we regularly use it, it is translated as scapegoat. Azazel is scapegoat. What happened that the Jewish high priest would take two goats, and by lots he will choose. One will be the goat which will be called for the Lord. That goat he will sacrifice as sin offering. The Azazel, the scapegoat, he will take, he will place his hands upon the head of that goat, confess the sins of the nation, and then by another person, that the scarlet sash will be attached around the neck of that goat, and also part of scarlet sash will be hanged at the temple door, and then that Azazel goat will be sent to the wilderness some 12 miles away from Jerusalem. There, at an appointed time, those of you who, like me, love animals, that the animals will be pushed backward to its death. The point here I want to make is that that animal, when died or reached its, fate, that it is the Jewish tradition that scarlet sash which hang at the temple door, it will turn from red to white. At in Isaiah chapter 1, prophet wrote that even if your sins are red as scarlet, they will be made white. But listen now, that the Jewish Mishnah and the Talmud, all Jewish books, they record that 40 years before the destruction of the temple, the second temple, in 70 AD, are you awake with me? That the Jewish Talmud and Mishnah records that 40 years before the second temple was destroyed in 70 AD, that red sash stopped to turn to white. I wonder why. You look back in the history, and that is the time around which Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, was offered. That which was spoken in riddles, that which was spoken just as parables, that which was taken as ceremonies, now that was complete in Christ Jesus. There was no need for any goats and bulls to be sacrificed anymore, because the one perfect sacrifice offered to destroy the sin forever and ever. I think my time is saying that I should be stopping. I have just given you the taster. You go to Deuteronomy, you go to Joshua, you go to Judges, you go to Ruth, you go both Samuel, you go to the Kings, you go to the Chronicles, you go to Ezra, you go to Nehemiah, you go to Esther, you go to Job, you go to Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, etc., etc. On every page you will meet Christ. But if you really want to taste truly what I am talking about, the person of the Messiah and his fulfillment in Christ Jesus, then sometime take a time to read the prophecy of Zechariah. Why do I talk all this? Christ is the King of Kings. It is always throughout the history, and especially in our modern world, the political correctness, all at times even teaching within the churches, that we try somehow to lower what he is, somehow to be more acceptable to the world. We don't need to be acceptable to the world. We need to be acceptable to the one in front of whom we are going to stand one day. And to him, to be counted righteous is only one way: to believe and trust in this King of Kings, the perfect sacrifice offered once for all for the sins of the world. May God give us the glory to put our faith in God's word, the Bible, whatever the commentators and so on say. Oh, no, I have said it many times, and please don't take it wrong, me. Please don't. I have been to 4 universities. Many have tried to hammer him out from my head, but he only stays there because I have seen him in my life. I have seen him in God's word, and my hope and prayer is the same for you. Fall in love with him. He will not let you down. Amen.